Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in.
Brent, welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I am so looking forward to having you on today, looking forward to this discussion that we are going to embark on. However, before we get into things, tell me a little bit more about yourself, your journey, what that has looked like, where you started, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I started as a little chubby kid in Ohio, and I always wanted to be a magician for some reason. A lot of only children, you know, they have that desire to be whatever it is. I don't know, seen, heard. So I was a little kid, always pestering people with magic tricks. But about 10, I found the book, The Magic of Believing, thinking it was a magic trick book. And it turned out to be a book all about the power of belief and the power of the mind. So from that point, 10 to maybe 18, I was, you know, I mean, I knew there was more than what I realized with life. So, but when I was 18, I was sitting in college going, this isn't for me. I dropped out of school, made my parents very upset, right? And went on the road as an opening act for Don Rickles, Joan Rivers, you know, celebrities. But the whole time, you know, I was studying this, the mind fascinated me so much. And I started to meet famous people. And I started to realize, you know, they understand this. Joan Rivers had read The Magic of Believing. She understood the power, you know, and I'm getting, wow, these people understand, you know, this immense power we have. So I did a meditation retreat when I was in my 20s. And the monk, the head monk, I guess he was, he says, what do you do? And I said, I'm a mentalist. You know, I do magic of the mind. And he said, really? Think of any word. And I did. And he said, lumberjack. And blew me away. What I was doing as a magician, he was doing for absolutely real. You know, and he explained to me, look, we're all connected to each other in this mass consciousness. So what you're doing on stage, that's nothing compared to what you could do. And so that was the turning point for me when I saw that in the real world. So since then, you know, I've built this business. This is my 30th year. I tour all over the world, teach people about the mind. And I've used it for everything I've ever had in life. I've come up against a cancer, drinking, drugs, alcohol, any of those things are mindset things. And so the same course of action worked for me in all of those. So now what I do is just go around the world and teach people how to do this.
I'm so excited to dive into this specific topic so much more. But before we get into that, because I know that is a whole rabbit hole we could go down, I want to hear about the entrepreneurial side and what did it look like building a business from nothing to touring and speaking all over the world.
When I was a kid, I mean, I had a dream of what I wanted to be, which I thought was a performer, you know, somebody on stage who people are applauding for. And that's what I did for so long. But I decided early on, as I said, I was in college going, this isn't for me. Somebody standing at the front of the room telling me what to do, this is not for me. And so I didn't want a boss. I never have wanted one. You know, and it's like when we're born, we're programmed. It's like we go to school, we have our parents, we're kind of into that. We're programmed for the first 12 years. You know, we're told to go sit in desks and be all the same as everyone else. I wanted to break out of that. And to do it, I was going to have to be my own boss. So really, I started just working on my act and, you know, sending out mailings. I met Don Rickles and the Smothers Brothers when I was 18. And I went up and talked to Don Rickles and we hit it off and I showed him a couple of things and he hired me at 18 years old as an opening act. So that was really how I got into show business. But in the same time, if you're just doing that, you're not really building a business because you have to learn how to stay in contact with your clients and, you know, send newsletters and calls and that sort of thing. So over the years, you know, it's been the desire to not have to work for, I don't want anybody to be able to tell me what to do. That's, you know, ever since I was a kid. So, you know, that's kind of been in the forefront of my mind, you know, for me, building this business, helping other people. That came later. Before, like I said, it was all about applause. It was all about me. I was the commodity. I had to, you know, in order to make money, I had to be outperforming somewhere. I had to be, you know, I wanted a business, I realized later, where money, I could be making money. I could have, you know, streams of income coming in where I don't have to be outperforming all the time. So again, my business has changed over the years, but it's basically, you know, it's been me, my team, but it's always been about not wanting to be beholden to anyone else. It's kind of been my, you know, the reason. But the why kind of changed. Like I said, helping people has become a big thing for me in the last 10, 15 years.
So what were some of the challenges when you were growing something for yourself and you didn't really, you know, you're working for somebody else on stage for somebody else, trading time for money. What were some of the challenges when you transitioned into this new school of thought that is entrepreneurship?
Well, it's kind of, you want to keep a foot in both worlds, right? And it's really impossible to do that because the people that you've worked for before, you know, they have you in one box. And so it's very difficult, especially in show business, to all of a sudden, you know, redefine yourself as something else. So I had to start an entire, you know, I had to break into an entire new, almost into an area where there wasn't a lot of other people. So in one way, that's good. But in another, it's very hard because you can't really say, oh, I'm like so-and-so, or this is, to get somebody's mind wrapped around what you're doing. So again, there's a lot of, you know, firsts that I had to do, but I think that's really the only way to do it is just to go into everything head first and kind of push through.
And I love that because it's such an entrepreneurial spirit is I just push through and there's going to be challenges. There's going to be a lot of challenges, but you have to have the perseverance and you have to also have the trust in yourself that it's not going to work out, but you're going to make it work out. And if it's something negative happens, you're going to turn that into some sort of a positive opportunity.
And guess what that is? That trust. What else do we call that? It's belief, right? It's the magic of believing because it's belief in yourself. And as an entrepreneur, that's what you need more than anything because it's guts that it takes. You know, you see people walk into a room that, you know, they're magnetic, right? And everybody's eyes is on that person. But then you see somebody who's got an overabundance of confidence and you think, how is this person? They're not that great, right? But they're still doing it. They're still making it. Because in some cases, the belief will override even the fact that you don't have the talent because you believe in it so much, you're literally creating it for yourself. That's how powerful belief is. So as an entrepreneur, I think that's number one. Like the number one thing is you have to have first the belief in yourself before you can ask anyone else to believe in what you do or to care about what you do, right? But then you've got to hold on to it because you're going to get a lot of people. I mean, the world is horrible for people giving you bum advice. A lot of people don't want you to succeed, especially as an entrepreneur, because they want you to be a cog in the machine. We don't go to school to be entrepreneurs. They have us in school to be, you know, bakers and candlestick makers and lawyers, you know, whatever. We're part of the machine. So they don't want us to be entrepreneurs. So in order to be that, you've got to keep that belief. Because when people say, oh, you can't do that, this isn't for people like you. Or our families will say, people like us can't do that. Or people with money are evil or whatever. You have to have your own belief and you have to keep it in your mind and kind of whatever anyone else says, you have your invulnerability cloak on, it just bounces off because, you know, you got to keep that belief in this, especially to be an entrepreneur.
Oh, yes. And that's how I could tell that you have gone through the trials and tribulations of entrepreneurship because you understand that and you understand family saying, you can't do that. Why aren't you just working for somebody else? It's easier to collect a paycheck. Well, yeah, it's easier, but that's not what I want in my life. That's not fulfilling to me. So I completely resonate with everything you just said. Now, talking about the power, the magic of belief, is that similar? Now, two synonyms, in my opinion, that come to mind are manifestation and law of attraction. So speak on that and how that works into what you teach and what you do now.
Well, I think the law of attraction is great. The problem is it's so overused and so understood because it's your mind that's doing it, okay? There is no secret of the universe that you have to somehow tap into. The law of attraction is if you are thinking a certain way and you're positive and you're creating your reality and you're bringing to you, you're attracting to you, but you're manifesting the life you want to live through your thoughts. I mean, they're powerful. You know, and think about the things that people say to themselves, the affirmations that you say. You know, we always worry what we say to other people, but the things we say to ourselves, those are the things that are creating our life. So if it's, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, you are manifesting that life for yourself. So manifestation is absolutely real. The law of attraction is real in the fact that it's you, it's your mind, it's the subconscious mind that's doing it. We're all connected to a universal mind. But the idea that it's packaged like some secret that's been hidden away from you is ridiculous. Nobody needs to buy anything. Nobody needs to go on and sit in a cave and meditate for 2 weeks. You can do this now, but you have to understand that the tool that makes all of that work is in your mind. It's this amazing computer. We all have one. You're born with this the most sophisticated machine ever made, and you don't get a manual that tells you how it works, right? You buy a toaster, you get a booklet. You buy a cell phone, you get a booklet. You get this amazing super mind, figure it out for yourself. You go to school, they used to tell me, Brent, you have to focus. But I finally said one day, did I miss that day? Because I don't remember learning how to focus. And the teacher had to admit, you know what? You're right. I don't know if I did either, because we don't know how to use it. So we're using it for stupid things. We're using it to worry about if our Mary likes the color of our pants and if, you know, what we're going to be eating for dinner later. It's not what we could be using it for. We just have this amazing machine. We don't know how to operate it. We don't even know how to turn it on most of the time.
Okay. So in you saying all of this, what are some of the successful people in the industry? What are some of the things that you see them doing that is different when it comes to their manifestation, their beliefs, their mindset, everything that we're talking about here? What are some things that you think can really set someone up to be different than most people and for success?
Well, intention and willpower, I mean, which is really kind of the same thing, but a lot of, and I work with Phyllis Diller. I work with Joan Rivers. Those are two that stick out for believing in the magic of believing. And Phyllis Diller was the first female stand-up comedian. She was in her 30s. Nobody thought she was funny. She was a mother with like five kids. She read that book and she dog-eared the pages and she underlined it and she put it to use in her life and she completely transformed her life. So I think what people need to understand is, like I said earlier, you have to have such a powerful belief that no matter what anyone else says, you have to still follow your own path. And that's what's hard. Somebody says something to us, we get upset, we get offended, we get pulled into that energy. So the trick is to be in your own space, to believe in what it is that you want, believe in what it is you're doing, and to not let the outside world come in. Because we're living in kind of two worlds. We've got our inner world, right? Where it's thoughts and ideas. And then we've got the outer world, which is like physical matter and things. And most of the time, things happen to us in the outer world. Somebody calls us an idiot or something. We take it into our inner world. We get upset about it. We ruminate about it. We think about it. Weeks later, we're still upset about it. And we're always waiting. It's like we are sitting back and waiting for something to happen in the outer world, and then we go into action. If you think about it, those two worlds are connected to each other. Things on the outside affect us. So the inner is also connected to the outer, which means what you're doing in here is affecting out there. But most people don't realize it. They're doing it completely the other way. We think everything important is out there. But if you think about it, the things that we value most, love, confidence, all of those things, those are not outer world things. You can't go out and buy a pound of love. You're not going to go to a store and buy confidence. You got to grant it to yourself first, and then the outer world changes. So it's when you start working on your inner world that everything on the outer world changes. So it's to turn off the switch that you're listening to everyone else's opinion, that you're taking, you know, doesn't matter what they say. You have to be on your own path and you have to be willing to stick to that. That's when everything starts to change, when you don't no longer get pushed. You know, you're no longer swaying in the wind when somebody can push you one way or another. You know what you're doing. Yeah, your opinion's great, but I'm sticking to this. That's what changes everything.
So what would some actionable tips, if somebody knows that that's something that they need to work on in themselves, what were some actual tips you give B to start changing that aspect of your mindset?
Well, the first thing to do in anything to do with the mind is you have to become aware, okay? Because that is the problem. You have 60,000 thoughts a day, a normal human being, okay? 80% of those thoughts are negative. So think about it, what you're manifesting, what you're creating with in that scenario. So one of the things I tell people is you need awareness. A great way to do it, and this is a very easy step, post-it notes, something like that. Take a pen, make a picture, a heart, a happy face, three or four of those. Put one on your mirror, put one in your bedroom, put one above your desk, whatever. Now, as you're going through your day, you see that post-it note. That is your reminder to stop whatever you're doing and just figure out what's on your mind right now. Because you'll start to realize this is a bunch of BS. This is stuff that doesn't even matter anymore. These are things that were programmed into me. So once you start doing that and you start taking notes, okay, what am I thinking? Oh, and you write that down. after 3 or 4 days, go back and look at that list. And I guarantee most of those things, not only are they negative, they don't belong in your life anymore. They're programming, they're patterns that we've been doing. So that's an easy one. Another one I tell people all the time is name the voice inside your head. Because you have a voice, we all do, and it's narrating your life. And usually it's narrating it negatively. It's telling you all these horrible things. And you have to remember, first of all, the voice isn't you. The voice is just the conditioned past. Your brain is there to kind of save you, to keep you safe. Back in the day, you walked out of the cave and like there's a lion there. Am I going to run? Am I going to fight? Now it's like you're not using it for that anymore, right? We're using our mind for the most minuscule task. So the voice will start and tell you, remember when you did this and it failed and this and the future is going to be horrible, the past, you know. So what you do is you name it. Okay, my voice is named Carl. Then it takes the power away because as soon as the voice starts, you go, oh, there's Carl again. And you look at the voice like a kid, like a little petulant child. And it takes all the sting out of it because it's some people think, wow, that's me that's saying those things, or it's the voice of the future. It's the voice of God. It's something else. It's just the past. It's there to kind of protect you. It's coming up in the present. But what we've done as humans is we take our thoughts and we take our emotions and we connect them together and then we put them away. So it's like you break up with your boyfriend. Now you're driving down the road. You see a car that looks like his. What happens? All the emotions flood back because you've taken the thought and the emotion, tied them together. And then even worse than that, you don't want that feeling. But what do? We don't throw it away. We hoard it inside. Like, you know, it's not like we've gone through it. We're going to get rid of it. No, it's like, oh, I don't want to feel that. So I'm going to put it away. And now the next time anyone brings up anything close to that, you know, when somebody says, don't go there with me, that means you're getting close to something I don't want to talk about that I haven't resolved, that I have kind of inside me.
Are you interested in becoming a global citizen and living a lifestyle by design in a country that aligns with you? If this is a lifestyle that you're seeking to create, we can help. Whether it be multiple residencies, citizenships, bank accounts, trust or company formations, we operate in 30 plus of the most tax-friendly jurisdictions around the globe to get you structured properly. Head to the link in the show notes to learn more and to get your global citizen journey underway today.
And so we could have thousands of those over the course of our life. And every one of those takes willpower to hold. It takes willpower to hold that inside. But as soon as you release it, as soon as it comes up and you look at it with awareness, it disappears because it's no longer logical. It doesn't belong in your life. So awareness will do that. Awareness will get you almost there. It'll get you maybe 80% of the way. It's just becoming aware that you're not beholden to your mind. You're in control, but your mind is used to being in control. So it's going to take a little work, but you are the person who can get yourself out of this.
I'm curious what your take on this is, because when you're speaking, I'm thinking, is the human mind inherently, and maybe this is learned somewhere along the way, but is it inherently more negative?
Well, I don't think it's not more negative. It didn't start out that way. But of course, over time, and you have to remember, it's not just your life. When you're born, you're kind of a blank slate, but you're programmed almost immediately. Your parents are programming you. Nobody is born to be racist, to be homophobic, to be sexist. You're not. That's learned behavior. So that learned behavior is negative, most of it. And of course, it was learned by their parents. And so you are not only getting all of the programming from the current world, which is, you know, the media, the government, you know, look like this, be like that, but do you have all the past that's coming up too, all the dreams and the hopes and the wants of your family, the generations behind you. So in the course of time, it has turned completely negative because it seems like negativity doesn't sell better than positivity, but negativity gets people to notice more for some reason. Just like you said, we take what somebody says that's negative and then we hold it at such a higher benchmark than, you know, somebody giving us a compliment. We don't level them out. It's like one, the negative is always so much higher. So I don't think it started that way, but it's definitely become that. And again, you're the only person that can get you out of this. I mean, nobody's, no therapist, there's no coach, none of us. It's going to take the person, but there's something on the other side of all this. You know, you just have to be able to believe in yourself enough to get to it.
Are there any patterns that you have seen with successful people? I really want to dive into the people that you've worked with who are extremely successful and what they have done. Are there any patterns, whether they're tangible or intangible? And I'll give you an example that I'm just thinking that's top of mind. I was listening to some other content recently, and the speaker was saying that he has worked with many people who are millionaires, multimillionaires, and he sees that they follow the, I don't follow this, so I don't know the exact wording, but something to do with like the stars and astrology and where the moon is, and they make a lot of decisions based on that. So that's just one example, not saying that that is necessarily accurate or not accurate, but I'm curious if there is anything that you have seen that many successful people that you have worked with have done.
Well, one of the things would be like athletes. Now, I do a lot of, you know, where they bring me in to do training programs, Cleveland Browns, that sort of thing. Okay. And I met Kobe Bryant years ago. Somebody like that, who is so laser focused, it's to me, what they do that is unlike other people is when they release something, they still have crap and they still have to work through things, but they are able to release it. And then they take the energy that was holding that in and they focus it where it matters. So every time they do that, they pull back the willpower, they pull back that life force energy, and it goes where it matters. Okay. You pull it back, you go through this, but most people don't do that. We've got millions of these things, thousands of these things inside of us. So being laser focused, and again, believing in yourself is important, especially with the people I work with in show business and people that are, you know, professional athletes, politicians. You have to have almost a stupid sense of belief, because everybody's going to tell you you can't do it. And look what an actor does. They go into a room when they're starting and people tell them, no, thanks. You're not good. No, we don't want you. You're too this. You're too fat, old, ugly, whatever. You've got to put up with, you've got to be able to take rejection and turn it into fuel. That's where successful people differ. And I hate to say normal, because everyone's normal, but they have this ability to take that and to turn it into power, to use it as motivational fuel. Not, I'm gonna slink into the corner now and cry about this. I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna focus it where it matters, and it's gonna propel me. It's not gonna hold me back. So that's, I think, the difference. And I've seen it in, you know, 70-year-old comedians, 20-year-old pop stars, you know, 30-year-old athletes. It's that unwavering belief in that desire of what they want. Nobody's gonna stop me. I'm gonna get it. And then I'm going to focus, you know, I'm going to keep pulling back my focus and refocusing. That's important. And, you know, to stop too, are your dreams, have you looked at your dreams lately? Are they your dreams? Or are they the dreams my dad wanted me to be a lawyer, right? I'm sitting in college going to be a lawyer because that's what he wanted. And a lot of people, they live their whole life like that. They, it's not their dream. Maybe they wanted to be a painter or an artist or anything else. And now they're doing something they didn't want to do because they were pleasing someone else. So it's always good too to stop and go, are these my dream? You know, is the thing I'm going for really mine? Is it the thing that I want? So reflection along the way is important. Awareness, like I said, important. You can do that every day. Just stop. What am I thinking about? How often am I in the past worried about all these things I could have done? I wish I'd done this. If I had done this, then this wouldn't have happened. We play that game. And then the other game is we're in the future worried about all the stuff that's going to happen. And we're trying to manipulate that. So out of the day, we're spending 40% of our time in the past. Can't fix it, can't change it, but we're there. We're spending 40% of our time in the future and we're trying to fix things to be the way we want them. But that leaves us with only, what, 20% of our time in the now, which is really the moment. The future doesn't exist because when it gets here, it's going to be now, right? The past doesn't exist either. When it was happening now. This is the moment, but we all forget it. We don't want this moment. We want the next moment, right? So we never spend enough time in this present moment. That's where all your power is. We just give it away. And celebrities, successful people understand that.
That is so powerful. And so thank you for sharing that, because that's a great reality check. And that is great to, and I love that you gave the actionable tip of the sticky notes, because it's so difficult to just keep things in mind. You know, we have a million thoughts going through our day. So to have something tangible that you can see, and it almost reminds me of like lucid dreaming, where they say if you want to start lucid dreaming, have a dream diary and write down your dream so that you can start recalling it. It kind of reminds me of something along that line.
Because you don't know what's going on up there, 99.9% of us, because we never stop. Nobody, you know, I meditate for an hour every day. I've been doing that for years. And sitting by yourself is something that terrifies most people. they don't want it. But that's really the key. You know, you got to have that connection to yourself in quiet time, because we put ourselves, especially now, 24/7 through, especially an entrepreneur, you're going through a crazy life. It's not like everyone else's life. You could be working 18 hours a day. You could be, you know, doing things that everyone else tells you is wrong, but you believe in it, right? So you have to have that time for yourself where you disconnect and you kind of recharge your battery. You see where you are. You see where it is you want to go. See the end game. The other thing is, and even entrepreneurs don't do this, is know what the goal is. It's like people will say, I want to be rich. I want to be this. I want to be that. But it's not an exact actionable goal. It's like, do you know what it is you want? Be able to see yourself there. Because without the destination, if the destination is vague, how the hell are you ever going to get there? So you got to have that quiet time to connect with yourself. And, you know, you're talking to yourself. You're almost introduced to yourself, because we've become this version of ourselves that's not real, because it's what we show everyone else. And we show these friends this, and then for our parents, we do this. So this whole amalgamation is not a real person. It's this person we've created to get us through trauma, to get us through breakups, to keep us from getting embarrassed, whatever, but it's not real. So you need that time to go, okay, what is it that I want? Where am I going? Are these my dreams? Whatever, but you got to have that quiet time, you know, for yourself. We give everyone else second, third, fourth chances. Give yourself another chance. You know, connect with yourself and find out, you know, what your passion is, what you want, and start living from that. And everything changes. Really, the entire outer reality changes as soon as you change the inner.
Okay. Thank you for sharing all this. This has been very insightful, very mindset changing. I want to talk to you about, now, when we were off air, we were talking about you have traveled to many continents, many different countries, cities, I'm sure, as well. So in speaking about perspective and mindset and the law of attraction, belief, whatever it is, have you noticed within different cultures that you have spoken in that the mindset, the belief that they have is different, but different due to the way that their culture is structured, if that makes sense?
Yes. But the thing is, now we're becoming a worldwide community because of the internet. And because, so it's different, you know, but back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, if you went to somewhere like Nepal, their mindset is completely, they didn't have all the distractions that we have. They were able to take that time. Things were, you could slow down a little bit. There are places you go in the world where they call it island time. You go somewhere in the Caribbean and everything seems like it's much slower. Everyone's laid back, right? Then you go to New York and it's like, boom, culture shock. Everyone's moving, you know, a mile a minute. So the people around are modifying their lives because of wherever they are. So nowadays, like I said, it's harder because we're in this, you know, this whole worldwide community. But the people who take time for, and I don't care if it's prayer, meditation, writing in a journal, whatever that is, if you take me time, those are the people that understand. And there are big areas. I mean, Asia was like that for many, many years, but it's not anymore because of all the technology. They're with us and so far ahead of us in some ways. So, but sometimes you go to like a little village, you know, somewhere, Italy or something, and it's kind of, wow, it's like being in a time machine. It's kind of, you know, 20 years back in the past, but they understand, you know, the importance of me time, of understanding the mind, that you can use your mind as a tool. Most of us are letting our mind use us. And so once you realize that you are in control, but you've got a monkey in a cage up there that's used to having its own way, it's just going crazy. So as soon as you take a stand and go, I'm going to meditate today for 5 minutes or whatever it is to start, right? The minute you sit down, your mind is going to start going, my back hurts, my leg hurts, I'm hungry, where am I? It doesn't want to be trained. Like anything, it doesn't want to be trained. But with repetition, the secret of everything is that you do it over and over. The bad things got us here, right? I need to lose 50 pounds. Well, how did I get here? I didn't get here because I ate a pizza yesterday. I got here because I ate a pizza yesterday and Snickers bars on the day before or whatever, over the course of a long period of time. So now you've got to use some repetition of the right things to get you out of this. So again, you know, and now because we're in this worldwide community, it doesn't matter where you are, wherever they are watching this from, you can do this. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what color you are, what sex you are. nothing. None of that matters. All that matters is you start getting that fire going that you want to make a change, and you'll be able to do it. It just takes, you know, time, a little bit of commitment, and it takes that repetition of the good thing.
Is there anything that you want to mention that's important within this conversation that we have not touched on yet?
Well, one thing I talked about that it is so important, so I'll say it again, is the idea that we don't want to be in this moment. This current moment is the power. And see, the past and the future are just abstracts. They don't exist, but we've created them. And the thing is, we overestimate the past, right? The past is always, oh my God, the past was so great. My childhood was great. This was great. That was great. This was great. We underestimate the future. I'll do it tomorrow. That, you know, whatever. But we're missing this moment. So your power position to make any kind of change is now. You can't do it back there because it doesn't exist. You can't do it up there. So you got to do it right here. So in order to make change in your life, it's to take the moment now. It's to become present now. And a great way to do it, another actionable thing they can do, is you're driving in your car, right? The guy in front of you is driving slow. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. That's the low-hanging fruit, they call it. That's the easiest thing to go for. Because those little things, you don't think that's anything, but those little things, once they leave you, again, that willpower comes back to you. So start with the little things. You're going on a picnic Saturday and it's raining. So instead of saying, God hates me, the universe is out to get me, why does this always happen to me? It's just rain. Deal with it, right? Those are little things, but that power returns to you for the bigger things, okay? Because again, first 12 years, you're programmed. Everybody around you, they're telling you how you should be, whatever. You go to school. So you're programmed like any piece of computer machinery, you're programmed. So it's learning that and then learning how to get out of that. And that is the present moment. That's how you make change. You kind of embrace the now. Instead of, it's like you're making a cup of coffee, right? We don't want this moment. We want the next moment where we're drinking the coffee. And what that does is it puts happiness ahead of you. Happiness is never where you are. It's always constantly slightly ahead of you. So you're chasing it for the rest of your life because it can only exist when you give it to yourself. So just remember, this moment right now is the moment. Be present, you know, look around, look at how amazing things are, the colors, you know, we drive our car, we get from A to B without even knowing how we got there. Our mind, our subconscious is doing all of that. So start paying attention, start being present, and these little things will disappear. You don't have to do any work. You don't have to go like you go to a therapist and go through all your horrible childhood and go through it every day, and then you go home and you're still feeling it. Heck with that. Instead, why not let the little things start dissolving themselves, take the power back and start working on the bigger things? You don't have to go pay a therapist every week and rehash all this horrible stuff. You can do this yourself. But again, present moment awareness, what's happening in this moment?
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, living a traveling nomadic lifestyle, it makes me think of before I started living this lifestyle, I always wanted this lifestyle. And then you get it and you work for it. And you live the lifestyle that you always, you know, glamorize in your mind, and it's exactly what you want. And then I'll be in a new city, a new country, and I'll be here for a day. And it's like, okay, what's the next place? Okay, what's next? And it's thinking ahead of yourself. And I have had to learn that because that makes absolutely no sense. When I'm somewhere for 1 month and I want to enjoy the most of that month and I may never be back there again, I had to start thinking to myself, okay, why am I looking towards the future? Which I'm excited for the future, yes, but I have to be in the present because I may never be here again. And we also don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next year.
Yeah. And you can't affect the future. I mean, you can plan for it, but you know how that is. And things are, you know, things change every second of every day. So yeah, this moment is it. And, you know, you can make change in this moment, but it's just like nobody wants this moment. We always want the next. It's like we kind of we delay our gratification. It's like the things we want are always ahead of us. And so you never get them because they're constantly ahead of you. And I've had mansions and sports cars, and my whole life I thought that's what was important. But when you get them, I mean, really how this whole really started for me, the shift was when I got those things and realized this is empty. And wow, my whole life it's been, I don't care what I have to do, I'm gonna get that. Now that I've got it, this doesn't mean anything at all. Now what do I do? So you're forced to kind of be introspective. You know, money is not the thing. Looks aren't the thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't see successful, good-looking celebrities kill themselves. Anthony Bourdain kill himself. Kate Spade. There's more, and it's not what we're led to believe by Madison Avenue, by, you know, the people that want us to buy things, you know, all these things we can't afford, we don't even really want. But, you know, if you buy this, you're going to look great and people are going to like you. And it's just all BS. It's just this never ending stream. So stepping into the present, you kind of stop that. You give yourself a moment. And what starts to happen is over time, that space increases. So the next time you're having a dramatic episode with someone, it's unfolding in front of you. Normally, when you'd get sucked into it, you'd be fighting and you'd be arguing. It could be a week or 2 weeks before you even realize you've been sucked into it. You've been unconscious. Now, time seems to move slower. You're in the zone. And now you can decide from this present moment, from this power position, how I want to deal with that. And so you ask yourself, is this worth my peace? And I can promise you 99.9% of the time, it is not. And so all of this is happening while what seems like, wow, that I've minutes here. It's just everything slows down. That's a gift you get. That time is a gift that starts to happen the more you start to step into the present and work on, what am I thinking right now? What's going on in my mind? Am I being negative or positive? This is the gift you get back.
And I think, you know, this episode has really put a lot of things into perspective. And I hope it has for the listeners as well, because we, like you've said, we get so caught up in everything that's happening in life, and it's busy and it's only getting busier and you have to be everywhere. And especially, like you said, if you're an entrepreneur, it can get infinite times more difficult. So it is amazing to have this reminder and have this insight from somebody who is an expert in the space, who can share the actionable tips along with what we should be doing, which we all know what we should be doing, but we don't usually do, but then what that actually looks like and how we can get there. So bridging that gap. So thank you for that. And where can people find you in the online space?
Best place, my website, just brentweb.com. Go there. I have a Facebook community as well. I'll give you that. Brentsgroup.com, no apostrophe. It's free because what I teach like you said, there's common sense here, but we don't have it. We don't have common sense. You know, you need actionable steps. You know, when I was starting, if somebody had said, I've done this, I've been successful doing this, all you've got to do is A, B, C in this order, well, that would change everything, right? It would have cut out the learning curve for me. So that's kind of what I'm doing. It's a free group. We don't sell anything, but it's private because I'm really going deep like I did with you today. So it's brentsgroup.com. They can join. They can come and take a look around. But give yourself some time. Give yourself a few minutes every day just for you. If you guys will do that, I promise you, you'll change everything. 5 minutes a day. It's all you need.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.